Today's class, we are going to explore the birth of Mashiach on Tisha B'Av and some of the applications in Halacha and Minhag that we find with this. The Gemara in Yerushalmi, as well as the Medrash in Eicha, with some differences, brings a very interesting story. There was a Yid that was with his ox, with plowing his field, with a few of his cows and his oxen. And one of his cows let out a call. Walking by was an Arab who asked him, "Who are you?" So he says, "What religion are you from?" He says, "I'm Jewish." So he says, "If you're Jewish, set aside your field, take apart your animals, because the Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed." While he was saying this, the few seconds that it took him to say this, the cow gave another roar. So the person turns to him and says, "Yidle, yidle, Jew, you could put them back together, you could start plowing your field, because the Melech Mashiach, the Malka Mashiach was just born. Mashiach was just born." She said, "If that's the case, what's his name?" She says, "Menachem is name." She said, "With Menachem is the name, what's his father's name?" He said, "His name is Chizkiah." Says, "Where could I find this kid?" Says that he was from a place called either Beerus Malka, according to the Gemara, or Beerus Arva, according to the Medrash, which is found in Beis Lechem Yehuda. And the Arab left. The Yid goes and he sold his animals, he sold his field, and he went and he bought materials, blankets, swaddlers for little kids. And he started going from city to sell these swaddlers. People would buy them from him. He'd go from city, and then from country to country, state to state, till he reached the city. He comes to the city, and the whole town, all the women of the town, come to buy these famous swaddlers that he's selling. All but one. This for the kid's mother. So the people of the city turn to him, and he's like, Menachem's mother, why aren't you buying for your kid a swaddler?" So she said, I wish to strangle all the enemies of the Yidden. I really wish to strangle this kid because of him something really bad happened. He was born the time of the Churban. He's a worthless kid. He's only bad mazel is his luck." This guy hears it and he tells her that, "I could promise you that yes, it's true, because of him the Mechorban happened, but because of him the Beis HaMikdash will, and through him the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. To promise you that by Hashem even." So he asks her, "Would you like to buy for him one?" He says, "I don't have money." He says, "That's fine. I'll lend you some money. I'll give it to you. And in a little while I'll come back and I'll come to your house and I'll pick up the money for it, but here, take this these blankets." The person leaves, and a little while later, he wants to know what's happening with Mashiach, with this little kid, with little Menachem. So he comes back, he travels back to the city, he meets this woman, and he asks her, "How is your son doing?" So she tells him, "Didn't I tell you he's worthless? From the second he was born, he was a worthless child. As soon as you left, we stopped speaking, there came a tornado, some massive storm, and the storm picked up this child and took him away. I've never seen him since." So the person turns to her and says, "Don't you see, this is what I was telling you, that because of him, the Beis HaMikdash was Nechor, but through him, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt." The Rebbe says that based on the Gemara in Baba Basra that has a question, this dispute, of who was Eiv, if Eiv really exists. So the Gemara says that how can you say Eiv didn't exist? There's a pasuk, the first pasuk in Eiv says, "Ish haya be'eretz Utz," was a person who lived in the land of Utz. "Ve'iv shmein," his name was Eiv. How could he say that there wasn't such a physical person? There's too many details about this person. We have to say that he actually exists, the person of Eiv. Now we could argue, when did he live? Similarly over here, the Rebbe says, it tells you so much about this kid's name and how this person sold his livestock and everything to go, and he was traveling. It must mean that an actual child did exist called Menachem. The story did happen, physically happen. If you look into the story, most people, when you ask them, what does the story tell you? It's this idea that before Hashem punishes the Yidden, he already creates a refuah for them, refuah kedem l'maka. He figures out how the healing will be. And that's why Mashiach was born, as soon as the Churban was created, happened. The question is asked why, it might have been a split second later, but there was a second that the Churban happened that this kid wasn't born. So there's an answer brought that this woman was pregnant before for a few months. The Hashem prepared it a few months before, but until the Churban actually happened, there's no need for Mashiach to physically, you don't foresee a Churban. The second the Churban happened, okay, now we have to have what we prepared to happen. Yet, this kid's a few minutes old and the Churban happened. What type of a good of a Mashiach is he? What could he do? So the rabbi says to look into, gives a few answers. One of the answers is to look into the Medrash and the Medrash about the time right before the Mabul. The time right before the Mabul was a very special time. Hashem gave them complete peace and they were happy and they were strong and they were living well. And the Gemara speaks, what type of peace do they have? So there's a machlekes between Levi and Rabbanon that how long was a pregnancy? If a pregnancy was 3 days, if it was 1 day. And then what happened right after the pregnancy? When a kid was born, the mother would tell the kid, if the kid was born by day, the mother would tell the kid, go outside, find a rock so we could cut off your umbilical cord. At night, the mother would tell him, which is seemingly an easier job, just find the stone and bring it back. At night, the mother would tell him to do something even more taunting, to go out and bring two stones and create a fire. Which is a little bit harder. The Gemara, the Medrash continues and says that there was one kid that was born at night. And the mother told him to go out and to bring this fire to be able to take off the umbilical cord. It was towards the end of the night. And the kid walks out and he sees a shindalit, a shade called Ashmedain. There's a machlekes, there's a dispute, what is this Ashmedain? If his name just represents someone that's going to destroy you, or was Ashmedain the king of all shindalits? And he meets him. And Ashmedain tells him that had it not been, I just heard the hen croaking, the hen calling that it's ready day. If he didn't yet croak, you should tell your mother she could pray to these hens. Because of her, I didn't kill you. Because it's ready day. So the child tells the shade that you should tell your mother that because I still had my umbilical cord, it wasn't yet taken off me, and therefore I am extremely weak. If not, I would have killed you. Regardless, you find over here that the kids in that time, as soon as they were born, they were very, very strong people. Also, there's stories about different kids that said nevuahs that prophesied. So the rabbi brings out that it's not the worst thing, the craziest idea, to say that a Mashiach, as soon as he's born, he would be able to be strong enough to be able to be Mashiach and to redeem the Yidden. And especially when you think about it, that the idea was he was born, and when he would grow up, he would be Mashiach. We don't have to say that he was going to be Mashiach right away. The idea is Mashiach is in this world. The hope is in this world. We could already feel better and feel comforted that Mashiach is here, and he'll bring us later. So that it says. So therefore, we find that Tisha B'Av is. So we find that Tisha B'Av is the birthday of Mashiach. And like all birthdays, the rabbi says, it's Mazali Geber, it's his special day. And it's a special day for the ideas of Mashiach, it's a special day to do things for Mashiach, it's a special day for Mashiach to come. The rabbi brings down somewhere else that also on the days before Tisha B'Av, specifically Erev Tisha B'Av, which right now we're in Erev Tisha B'Av, it's a very special time to start our preparations for this great day. This idea that it's the birthday of Mashiach, we find throughout Halacha and Minhag its applications in these areas. It goes through. The first one is a Minhag, a custom. There's a custom in many Sephardic places that women on Tisha B'Av sweep the floor. At the end of Tisha B'Av, they sweep the floor. Some people even paint the house. The Yemenites, the Moroccans, they used to paint the house. There's a story about a big rub that once came to a city, and he heard about this minhag, and he said, absolutely not, you have to stop this minhag. It says you're not allowed to clean your house on Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to do any melachas that you don't need to, especially cleaning. that night he went to sleep and he had a dream, and in the dream they told him, why did you tell him to stop? They were doing this in honor of Mashiach's birthday, and it's their hope that since Mashiach was born, Mashiach will come, and therefore it's a very good thing. It's not to clean their house, it's for another point, something that has to do with the day, and they should continue doing it. So when he woke up, he told them that they should continue doing it. Another place where we find it is, if a child was born, and he has his bris milah on Tisha B'Av. So it's brought down in Peskim, which the Rebbe quotes, that if the bris is on Tisha B'Av, you should give a name Menachem. Because Menachem, the Mashiach was born and his name was Menachem, you should give the name Menachem. Any child that having his bris that day should have the name Menachem. By the Rebbe, you find a little bit different. The Rebbe says if a child is born on Tisha B'Av, Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, so his name should be Menachem, some variation of Menachem. Another place we find this is in Mincha. There's something very interesting about Tisha B'Av, is that Tisha B'Av is a very sad day because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But when was it destroyed? It was destroyed at the end of the day, towards the end of the day. How do we commemorate Tisha B'Av? We sit on the floor, we lament, we say Eicha, we're all sad for the first half of the day. And as soon as it comes Chatzes, it comes the time of Mincha, we sit on cheers. We sit up, all of a sudden everything's fine. We sit up, we say in Mincha, Nachim, not in the morning, because there's no way that we console ourselves. We say the Psukim of Nachim in the Tzvul of Nachim, consoling us in Mincha. Seemingly, this is the time that the Beis HaMikdash will destroy. This is the time we should be the most sad. This question was asked by the Rizal in Shara Kavanis. Rav Chaim Vital writes in Shara Kavanis, and he answers over there that because the Yidden thought that was the end of Judaism, that all the Yidden were going to be wiped out. As soon as the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, was put up on fire, they realized that Hashem now traded in all the Yidden for some stones and wood, and he sent all of his wrath on the Beis HaMikdash, and we will be saved. So they were happier. Rav Chaim Vital writes, I think it's Rav Chaim Vital, or he writes in the name of the Arizal, he says, I heard from my father. The reason for this is because Mashiach was born. And once Mashiach was born, now we could really console ourselves. We could be consoled with the fact that now, yes, till now, Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. We're at a very, very sad time. But as soon as Mashiach, a second later, Mashiach is born, now we have a redemption in sight. We could console ourselves with the tefillah. He says, and you actually see it in the name of the tefillah. The name of the prayer is Nachim, which comes from the word Menachim, comes from the word Nachim. It's the idea of consoling the name of Mashiach. Then at night, it says in the Ramah writes that on two things. First of all, he writes that the night after a tannis, the night after a fast, you're not supposed to do Kiddush Levana. Because Kiddush Levana has to be at a happy time. You have to be happy when you're doing it. It's exciting, davening. And after a tannis, we don't feel that way. He also writes that we do not do Kiddush Levana before Tisha B'Av for the same reason, because it's a very sad time. Once Tisha B'Av is over, you could do Kiddush Levana. The Taz infers from this that the night after Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to do it either, because it's right after fast, we're still fasting, so you're not allowed to do Kiddush Levana. The Ve'er Hetiv and the Prima Gadim quotes from the Arizal himself, that he said that since on Tisha B'Av, Mashiach was born, and the idea of Kiddush Levana, we say over there that Asid Lischadish Kemesa, that Mashiach is going to come back, and the moon will be how it was supposed to be when Mashiach comes. And now Mashiach is born, especially that we're talking about David Malchus Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, that there's the Malchus of David is coming back. So what more opportune time would there be than to say it over here? But if it's best to be able to eat something before you say Kiddush Levana, like that, you're not in the middle of a fast. And they say that you should not be in non-leather shoes. To show that you're finished the fast, you should change your shoes before, which you should have done already by Baruch Hu, by Ma'ariv, but you should change your shoes before. As a matter of fact, some Peskim I saw write that if you have a choice to do it with a minion, or to do it at home alone with non-leather shoes, or to do it home alone with leather shoes, you should forego the minion and do it yourself at home that night. It's another place where we find it. Another place is the Rebbe says that it's brought down that if a person didn't yet have children, so he has to make a mitzvah of having children, and he has a chasen, and he knows that if he has no other option, specific case that there's no other option for him to get married. The night of Tisha B'Av you could get married, although we don't eat wine or meat or any of these other things. The night of Tisha B'Av you could still get married. Why? The same reason, because Mashiach was born this night. It's a happy time, and now we could continue on with marrying off whoever needs to be able to bring Mashiach close with all the marriages. The place where you find this the most is on Shabbat. If Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat, there's a dispute in the Gemara between Rabbi Huda, Rabbi, and the Rabbanon, and others. When would Tisha B'Av fall out? When do we fast? Do you fast on Friday? Do you fast on Thursday? Do you fast before? Do you fast after? We know the halacha is that we fast the night after, we fast on Sunday. But Rabbi's of the opinion that Kim and the Nitzki Itzki. Once we're pushing it off, let's push it off completely. So the Rebbe explains that Rebbe was a Nasi. He was a president, which meant that he comes from David HaMelech. And since he came from David HaMelech, and Mashiach was just born, so therefore he was of opinion, let's just push us away, Mashiach is coming. Whereas the Igra the Chala brings it down very, very nicely, that Rebbe was from the house of David, as we said before, and it says that when the Korban happened, it means that there's a problem with the house of David. They're all down. And it's brought down in Halacha that if a family has an issue and a child is born, they should see it as a simcha and their problems are finished. Now that Mashiach is born, the Malchus Beis David could come back, and there's absolutely no reason to have to fast. So once we're ready pushing it off, we could push it off completely. The Rabbi takes it a step further. On Shabbos, that is Tisha B'Av, there's something called a Seudah HaMasekes. A Seudah that we still call it Seudah HaMasekes, it's a Seudah that is supposed to stop between Shabbat and whatever we're doing next. It's a stopper. It's a split. So the Rabbi explains the splitting to the ideas of Tisha B'Av. But now Tisha B'Av is Shabbat, it's Mashiach's birthday. And it says that's actually why we say it's splitting, and this special one, which is connected to Tisha B'Av, we say that you're even if you want to eat, like the Sudas Shlema B'Shaita, such a big feast like Shlema in the height of his kingdom, you could even eat that. So the Rabbi says, because since we're talking about over here Mashiach, and it's sort of a birthday party for Mashiach, and we're trying to herald in the idea of Mashiach, and when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a meal of the Sudas Leviyat and Sharabar, which will be much greater than the Su'udah of Shlema ever had, the meat that Shlema ever had. So therefore, we call it Kis Su'udah Shlema. We say, like the Su'udah of Shlema you could eat, because it's our only form of reference, because it's so much, it's going to be a much greater, much bigger meal than even Shlema had or Nakuim and Manzi. This, before we said that, the Rebbe says that, this story actually physically happened. But one time the Rebbe quotes to look into something that the Maharal said. The Maharal was one of those people that held that this story didn't happen. Just a muscle. Very, very interestingly, he goes through, he starts off with what it means that animals are able to feel things and know knowledge that other people can't. We find it by Bilam, we find it by other places that animals knew things that people didn't know. There's a story about a Rav Avin that he heard an Arab came by and told him that an animal told you that if you would leave your job over here and you go to something else, you'll be very successful. Sorry, he was in jail and there was an Arab with him that heard an animal saying something. He said that I heard from him that if you would leave right now, you would escape now from jail, nothing would happen to you, they wouldn't catch you. And he ran out and he found his way. So you see that animals have a greater sense. The cores are simpler. They don't have a mind the same way that we do, so their mind doesn't get in the way. Animals have a greater sense. And we also find in the story that Arabs, certain people, Shlema Melech had it, knew the language of animals. There were people that know the language of animals. So to have this story, this idea that an Arab understood the language of an animal is not the end of the world. But he still holds that it wasn't, so it's trying to teach us something. And he goes as follows. That the person, the Arab tells the person that Mashiach was born. The person asks him, what's his name? He says, it's Menachem. What's his father's name? His father's name is Chizkiah. He says, the kid's name is not Menachem, his father's name was not Chizkiah because he never existed. In Sanhedrin we also have the Mashiach's name is Menachem ben Chizkiah, another time in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. He says, what is the idea? The idea of Menachem ben Chizkiah is that Mashiach, the idea, the power So he says, so what does it mean that saying that he was born? Saying that there's this ability, this power of Mashiach is already in the room, was evoked with the Churban, it came out, and now we could at any second have Mashiach come. So what's the name Menachem? It says, Menachem means, as we said before, to console. Chizkiah means to give strength. The idea, the knowledge that we have a Menachem should be able to console us and give us strength to be able to go through Golus. Says, where is he from? He says, so he quotes the Medrash, it says that he was from Beerus, Arva of Beis Lechem Yehudah. He translates those words literally, literal physically. Beerus Arva, it was the capital of the Arabs. Capital of the Arabs, why? Because where's Mashiach? Mashiach can't find himself in Yerushalayim, at the holiest places. He has to find himself in this world. Now we are lost in this world. We are in the firm. We're in Golus now. If we're in Golus now, how could we find to be consoled through Mashiach if Mashiach is over here at the height, at the capital of where we are? And that's what the story goes and says, that the guy went and sold everything that he had. And he started getting swaddlers on blankets for Mashiach. What's the idea? He started already preparing himself for Mashiach, starting to do things to be able to bring in this Mashiach era. And he went from city to city, country to state to state, country to country, till he came to this area. He comes to the city, which is the idea of coming closer and closer as he's traveling, as we are traveling, this knowledge that we have in Mashiach, that it's with us in the Galus, and it's able to come out at any time, gives us the power to constantly go up and try to get closer and closer to the Mashiach era. He comes there, and he meets him with his mother. And his mother tells him that there's bad spirits with this kid, and bad winds came and took him, and I haven't seen him since. That is representative that Mashiach should have came. But we have done bad things. There's impurities in this world that have picked up Mashiach and hidden him from our view. And our job is to constantly go closer and closer to be able to come out to have this Mashiach. But Mashiach, Menachem ben Chizkiah, is always there, is constantly with us. And hopefully with this knowledge, that Mashiach is here and we're getting close to the day of Mashiach, we're slowly there ever since it's here today, on Erev, Tisha B'Av, and especially on Tisha B'Av, we should be able to come to actually reach Mashiach and find him where he is in this world, and he will be able to give us the strength and take us out of this gullus, may it be right very soon, so we can actually have, as Rebbe said, that the Tisha B'Av should be in a way that it should be pushed off completely, and on the contrary, it will be turned into a very special holiday, Yontif, Yahapu Yamam Elu, Satan Simcha, that will be able to have not just fast, but be able to sit and eat the feast of Mashiach with the Sufa Livyasin and the Shara Bar, hopefully speedily in our days.